Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Change of Plans by Robin Thomas, narrated by Cheryl Ray. Chapter 1. Bright lights, big city, anonymity, and a chance to be recklessly, drunkenly single. The mantra had fueled 7 hours of nonstop driving, but the lights of Vegas made the words jumble in Sarah's throat. Pawning her big-ass diamond ring and living large on the proceeds had seemed like a brave move this morning. Now, not so much. Sarah coasted to a halt on the shoulder of the road and scowled at the indent her engagement ring had made on her finger. Considering the size of the rock and the years she'd worn it, she should be glad the damage was so slight. She adjusted the angle of the rearview mirror and stared at her reflection, surprised to see the same old Sarah returning her gaze. Perhaps she'd been wrong to come here. Maybe. "Don't even think about driving back to Pity City, Utah," she told the woman in the mirror. "Leaving was the hard part. Getting rid of the damn ring and booking a room ought to be easy." Her eyes narrowed on the long brown braid trailing over her shoulder. "If you need some incentive, get a haircut." The idea held definite appeal. Her waist-length locks were her best feature, but they were what her ex had loved most about her. He'd actually told her that midway through dumping her, each new compliment like a knife to her heart. "You're sweet and loyal, and you have pretty hair that never changes," he'd said in a gentle tone. "But honestly, Sarah, I could describe the poodle next door the same way. You can't blame me for not wanting to marry a woman with no sense of style or adventure." "Actually, I can. I can also get a radical haircut anytime I want." With a decisive nod, she flipped on the turn signal and joined the traffic headed for Vegas. When the 6 o'clock news came on the radio, she began to panic. She was pretty sure you could drink, dance, and gamble all night in Vegas, but what hours did pawn shops keep? 9 to 5? She hoped not. A burger might be affordable with what was in her wallet. A bed for the night wasn't. She blinked at the sight of a strange white building adorned in striped poles with huge gold, red, green, and purple ribbons cascading down the sides. The Masquerade Hotel was disgustingly cheerful and kitsch. Staying there was bound to cheer her up. She drove along the strip, scanning the neon for the keywords buy and sell. "Please be open. Please, please, please." Avoiding pedestrians and looking for a pawn shop was proving difficult, so she found a parking garage, then set out on foot. An hour later, dehydrated and discouraged, she glimpsed hope in the distance and dragged herself toward it. The pawn shop's shabby exterior was almost enough to make her forget the whole idea. She stood on the sidewalk, twirling her braid like a skipping rope, debating whether to go inside and accept whatever pittance they offered, or sleep in her car and find a more reputable-looking place tomorrow. "You can't afford a decent meal," she muttered under her breath. "Take what you can get and make it last until you get the wedding insurance payout." She shoved the door open and stepped inside, her resolve wavering as she realized that other patrons were browsing in the shop. It would be mortifying to have an audience while she bargained for funds. Everyone within earshot would know about her failed engagement. They might even think she'd called it off and kept the ring. "Can I help you, miss?" No, maybe, I'm not sure. When the bell on the door rang again, signifying more customers, Sarah plucked the ring out of her wallet and thrust it at the wizened old woman behind the counter. "I want to pawn this." The woman bounced the ring lightly on her palm. "It's heavy." She gave Sarah's peasant blouse and baggy harem pants a disapproving once over. "Did you steal it?" "Of course, but it was too easy. No thrill, you know. It has quite a distinctive setting, so I flashed it around, hoping someone would recognize it. No one did." She flipped her braid back over her shoulder and raised her chin. "Now I've chosen a public place to try to convince a cynic to buy it." A snort of laughter from one of the other patrons made her flush and stammer out an apology. "Sorry, that was rude of me." She dug in her bag for proof of purchase, shifting her weight from one foot to the other, wishing she could snatch the ring back and leave. It's mine. I have a receipt from Tiffany & Co. The shop owner tilted the ring to study the hallmark, then whistled softly through the gap in her front teeth. Tiffany. She seemed more interested now, but something felt a little off. Maybe it was too upmarket for this particular store. My expectations are low, even though it's designer, Sarah said. I'll settle for... She yelped in surprise when a man's arm encircled her shoulders and drew her against his side. He angled his muscular, suit-clad body slightly forward of hers, seeming to place himself between her and the shopkeeper, although he barely moved.
Darling, he drawled, let the lady do her thing. She'll tell us what our ring is worth, and then we'll accept or decline her offer.
Darling? Sarah's heart beat a rapid staccato as Mr. Tall, Dark, and Possessive took control. Her gaze zeroed in on his chin dimple and refused to budge. The ridiculous urge to touch it, to trace the dip with her fingertips, made her freeze in place. Initiating contact of any sort was out of the question. She didn't even know this man. She couldn't fathom why he was pretending they were a couple, but his subtly aggressive body language suggested it was for her benefit. The air vibrated with tension as he and the store owner exchanged hard looks. What the hell was going on? Why did she feel as if the two of them might arm wrestle?
Darling?
Strong fingers prodded her shoulder, demanding a response. Sarah gave it without thinking. We're happy to wait while you value it, she told the store owner. When the woman turned away and the man released his hold on her, Sarah finally remembered to breathe. It was a mistake. The action lifted her breasts just enough to press against the curve of his elbow. She gasped and accidentally nudged him again, blushing when he looked down. Every other man she knew would have stepped back. He didn't, and she dared not breathe because he was still staring at the slight gap between her chest and his elbow. She cleared her throat. Why did you say it's our ring? His focus shifted to her face. A devastating smile curved his full lips, and then he laughed.
You needed an ally. I had to improvise.
His amusement faded as he continued to look at her.
First time in a pawn shop? First time in Vegas? I can't place your accent. Where are you from?
He curled his hand behind her neck and brought her braid forward, nodding in satisfaction, almost as if he knew she preferred it there.
Tell me what you're doing here. You hopped a bus from...
I drove. She took a step back and drew herself up to her full height. From Utah.
Why?
She wrapped her fingers around her braid and squeezed, taking out her frustration on it instead of him. I just had to. I hate being pitied. His scowl told her she was in no danger of being pitied by him. After the week she'd had, it was liberating to interact with someone who wasn't affected by her broken engagement. Saturday was supposed to be my wedding day, she said. It's kind of a big deal because I've been planning it for 20 years. She ignored the way his brows hiked. And everyone in my hometown is involved in one way or another. When Gabe called it off, they started to smother me with attention, calling, stopping by for coffee, leaving casseroles and flowers and notes of condolence on my doorstep. She exhaled unsteadily, shifting her attention to a display case full of vintage hair combs. One of my neighbors, a lovely man in his 70s, proposed yesterday. He made a choked sound.
Congratulations.
It's not funny. His proposal is the fourth one I've had this week. She tried to ignore his quick, doubtful appraisal. It's not me they want. She worried her lip and then shrugged. I hadn't realized how excited everyone was to see all the wedding preparations finally come together. Apparently, they don't care who stands up at the front as long as it goes ahead. He laughed, and her tension eased for the first time in a week. She smiled up at him. I took delivery of my wedding cake early this morning, And then my mailman delivered 200 personalized bottles of champagne with heart-shaped chocolates draped around their necks. His dark blue eyes glinted with humor.
Did you smash them or drink the lot?
Neither. I put them in the shade on the porch along with a note that said, please take one, and then I left. She paused. Do you have a name?
He leaned close and spoke in a hushed tone as if his name was privileged information. Ethan Monroe.
Being singled out by him was a heady feeling. She stared, waiting for him to add some kind of distinction. Ethan Monroe III, or perhaps Ethan Monroe PhD, and felt confused when he didn't. The way he looked at her demanded something, she just didn't know what. Her face warmed under his scrutiny. Man, he was intense. He could get a job as an interrogator of women. With a few disapproving looks, he'd make any female spill her secrets. She'd already told him most of hers, but he clearly wanted more information.
Name?
I'm Sarah, she hesitated. Sarah Greaves.
May I?
He tugged on the receipt she'd pulled from her tote and cursed when he read it.
The ring's worth 70 grand?
She felt tears well in her eyes. Ethan's exact words had come out of her mouth 4 years earlier when her ex showed her the receipt. Gabe took out a loan to buy it. He spent the exact amount on the ring that I'd saved toward the cost of our wedding. He said it was fair, that it made us equal partners going forward, and reflected his level of commitment. She shrugged. Clearly that was a lie. He refused to take the ring back, though, so now it feels as if he's paid 70 grand to be free of me. Having it around gets me down. I just want to sell it quickly and try to forget. Ethan frowned.
Sarah, he said gently, you need to ask for the ring back. If you still want to pawn it tomorrow at a better place than this, I'll help you. But not here, not tonight.
I need money tonight. Our wedding costs blew out my savings and I had to tap into my business account. My credit cards are maxed out as well, and Gabe emptied our joint checking account. The store owner cleared her throat, cutting Sarah's thoughts short. It's genuine, the woman said. You serious about parting with this? Ethan's jaw tightened.
One more day, Sarah. What's the harm in waiting?
He laced his fingers through hers and tilted his head toward the door.
Come on, I'll buy you dinner.
Sarah almost nodded before common sense kicked in. Despite being almost too handsome and acting like her personal bodyguard, Ethan was a stranger who knew that her ring retailed for more than an average year's salary. Wandering off into the night with him wouldn't be her smartest moment. She gently disengaged her hand from his and stepped back. Whether I choose to sell my ring or not, we won't be leaving together. His slow smile caught her off guard.
Playing it safe? Good girl. Vegas must be a far cry from what you're used to, but you're a quick study.
His voice was pitched low enough to keep their conversation private.
If you pawn your ring tonight, even for a paltry amount, it will be held securely until you redeem it with your ticket.
Money and safety and time to scope out the competition? You're a genius. Ethan's smile widened as if she'd spoken her thoughts aloud. He settled his hand at the small of her back, his long fingers splayed wide as he guided her toward the counter.
While you're filling out the forms, wrap your head around the idea of eating with me once you're done.
Chapter 2. Vegas was Ethan's playground, his pick-me-up of choice, the one place guaranteed to infuse him with energy. But something was off on this trip. The familiar temptations didn't appeal. He'd been on the verge of leaving before he saw Sarah vacillating outside a pawn shop. She was different, intriguing. She had a braid that she turned like a skipping rope. His assessment of her changed from minute to minute. It was damned infuriating. As a divorce attorney, he often had to make snap judgments of character, and they were always decisive. Sarah didn't fit into any of the pigeonholes he tried to slot her into.
At first glance, she'd seemed vulnerable, naive, and in serious danger of being ripped off, but she was no pushover. His sweet little innocent had left the pawn shop with a dinner date, $5,000 in cash, and a check for $32,000. She wasn't beautiful or shallow, his favorite qualities in a woman, yet he'd insisted on buying her dinner. He didn't know why. Perhaps because Vegas was new and exciting to her? She had a bounce in her step, green eyes shining as she considered her next move. When she did something unexpectedly stupid, he wanted to be around. Vegas looked a lot better with her in it. He tensed his arm, drawing her closer to his side as they passed a handful of drunken men in drag, one wearing a bridal veil. Even in their inebriated state, the men didn't leer at her. Their looks were appreciative, though, and he realized with a start that she was smiling at them. Great, you're wary of a clean-cut guy in a Gucci suit, but you're happy to flirt with these morons. Why can't you pick a personality type and stick to it? She sucked in a gasp of air, bouncing in excitement as she tugged him toward an all-night beauty salon. She stared, captivated by a giant black-and-white poster of a bald chick. Wow! Her sense of awe tripped an alarm inside him. The poster was a basic studio shot of a model with flawless skin and too much eye makeup. Nothing special, unless the artistry appealed to her.
Are you a photographer?
No, just an admirer. She's exquisite, even without hair, don't you think? She trailed her fingers down her braid, from collarbone to waist, as if running a silent comparison between herself and the poster. When she turned to face him, her smile was brilliant. I want to go in. You're off the hook for dinner, unless you're willing to wait. Was that hope in her voice? No way in hell was he leaving her here with a stack of cash. He gestured at the giant advertisement.
She's attractive because stylists have spent hours creating an illusion. Real women don't have that luxury.
He sensed his mistake the moment Sarah stiffened.
I know a thing or two about this, Sarah. My mother...
Sarah finished his sentence, her words kinder than he would have chosen. Your mother is meticulous about her appearance? He laughed.
You make it sound like a good thing.
Says the man in Gucci loafers. He plucked at his lapel.
My suit?
Also Gucci, although your shirt and tie aren't. She patted his arm and grinned. I'm guessing the apple doesn't fall far. He stared at her, taking a moment to decide his next play.
If my mother was here, she'd lecture you.
He winked, then adopted a snooty tone.
When choosing a new look, it's important to envisage how practical it will be at 7 a.m. on a weekday. Can you replicate it without assistance? How well will it be received in the office or fit in at the weekend farmer's market?
He stopped teasing when Sarah's face paled. He defended her. Again. Curving his hand around her waist, he guided her inside the salon.
Let's see what they recommend for you.
Ethan paced the sidewalk in front of the salon. He knew how long beauty treatments could take, but this was the first one he'd ever stressed over. Hair like Sarah's would take years to grow and seconds to destroy. He'd bribed the manager to give Sarah the experience of a full makeover without making any irreversible changes. As time passed, his faith in the manager dwindled. A young woman in a 50s-style floral dress poked her head out of the salon door, hot pink curls bouncing wildly. Are you Ethan? He blinked at her makeup, wondering if she'd applied it in the dark.
Yeah.
We want to dress Sarah for dinner. Where are you taking her? She sighed dramatically. What's the dress code, darling?
There isn't one.
He felt sick. Vegas had never held an ounce of stress for him before today. He'd come here ahead of his parents' upcoming divorce to soak up the atmosphere of greed and excess. Vegas was a city that supported his core belief. People only cared about themselves. Like his parents before him, he was self-serving to a degree that offended most people.
Instead of apologizing, he embraced it. He lived alone, avoiding entanglements, aside from necessary ones within the workplace. The freedom to always put himself first was worth the sacrifice of personal relationships. He hadn't expected to have his views challenged by a wide-eyed country girl in hippie-style clothing. Her opinions and behavior shouldn't matter, but somehow they did. He swiped his palm over his face and contemplated walking away. The only thing Vegas had to offer him tonight was inside the salon, though. He'd rather play tour guide than hit a bar or drive back to L.A. alone. A vice-like grip on his upper arm snapped him back to reality. The woman with fairy floss hair led him inside the salon.
"Come and sit down. How long since you ate?"
"I'm fine," he said, and then checked himself as he caught sight of Sarah. He might never be fine again. The passably pretty woman he'd arrived with had been transformed into this stunning creature with bronzed, bee-stung lips and legs worthy of a cheerleader. The simple halter-neck dress had probably looked modest on the hanger, but it highlighted her curves as if it had been designed for her alone. Frothy layers of fabric swirled around her knees as she walked, sparkling beads danced over her breasts, and the delicate bow resting on her collarbone made it look as if the dress would slide off with one slight tug. His fingers itched to put it to the test. Her hair was loose and fell in soft, glossy waves that he felt compelled to bury his hands in. Long legs, amazing cleavage, a tiny waist, stunning hair, and plump lips just made for... One of the stylists stage whispered, but he was so deep in his contemplation of Sarah that he didn't register the words. The reason her ex had put such an expensive bauble on her finger was suddenly clear. This woman warranted such a ridiculous gesture. Sarah stared at him, gulping in a breath that threatened to dislodge the top of her dress. His heart skipped and stuttered as her jubilant expression faded and her gaze slid away from his.
"Ready for dinner?"
Was that gravelly sound actually his voice? Why was he blabbering about food instead of complimenting her? He found himself inches away from her and couldn't remember getting there. It was good, though. He needed to touch her. He reached for her hands, his thumb zeroing in on the indentation her engagement ring had left.
"You look beautiful. Infinitely better than the bald chick on the poster."
Sarah laughed in delight, her delicate fingers slipping between his as if holding his hand was second nature to her.
"I'm starving. Please tell me we're going somewhere with decent-sized meals and an obscenely late closing time."
He almost invited her up to his suite. Then reality kicked in. Food was what she wanted, what she thought he was offering.
"The Peppermill never closes. If we're still there for breakfast, I'll be a happy man."
Sarah pushed her empty plate aside and blushed for what felt like the 100th time. She kept forgetting herself, staring at Ethan's jaw, wondering what it would be like to press her lips to the cleft in his chin. It was a good thing he liked to argue. Every time her mind started to wander, he redirected her thoughts. He'd just reopened their marriage versus singledom debate.
"You're wrong," she said. "I could prove it, but it would only embarrass you."
He smirked and gestured to a passing waitress for a coffee refill.
"Do you really want me to spell it out? You've never been married or engaged, and you profit from other people's misery. Being a divorce lawyer disqualifies you to argue for marriage because your livelihood depends on its dissolution. You bank on broken dreams."
Ethan raised his empty coffee cup and tilted it as if awarding her a point.
"Nicely put. But perhaps I believe these disenchanted people deserve an advocate. I can't restore the happiness they once had, but I can ensure their property settlement gives them a fighting chance at another go-round."
Sarah bit her lip, then smiled weakly at their waitress when she arrived with a fresh pot of coffee. The debate-winning glass of champagne she'd planned to order no longer seemed appropriate.
Ethan's career was the type she despised, yet he didn't appear to be heartless or mercenary. The way he told it, his clients were needy and turned to him for help.
Would you like to see the dessert menu?
Sarah said yes, at the same time Ethan said no. The waitress laughed, and Sarah amended her answer.
I don't need to see the menu. We'll have a banana split with 2 spoons, please.
Ethan swore so softly she couldn't be sure she'd heard him right.
That settles it,
he said.
You may not know it, but you're already open to the idea of another relationship. It's only a matter of time until you meet a new man, fall for him, and plan another wedding.
Needing something to do with her hands, Sarah reached for Ethan's coffee and took a sip of the black, sugarless brew. It should have steadied her, but all it did was make her head swim.
What makes you think that?
His smile widened.
The ink's not even dry on the pawn ticket, yet you're having dinner with a man who's into you.
He ignored her squeak of alarm, his gaze lingering on her mouth so long that she began to imagine him kissing her.
Ethan,
stop looking at me like that. I'm going to pass out if I don't breathe soon.
His gaze finally shifted, but the longing it generated intensified. Her lips seemed to have developed independent thought. They wanted to play over his. Could one glass of wine really lower her inhibitions that much? She'd better sit back and drink the rest of his coffee.
I can understand adding an extra layer of polish to your look and dressing for Vegas, he said. But letting hair like yours down gives a man all sorts of ideas.
Hey.
But the biggest clue of all.
The blood pounding through her head was so loud she couldn't hear him. Whatever he thought he saw, he was wrong. She would have told him that if the waitress hadn't shown up right then with their banana split. Ethan took charge of it, smiling as he accepted both spoons. He slid around the booth until the left side of his body warmed her right. He loaded a spoon with strawberry ice cream, her favorite, and then held it in front of her mouth. No pressure, just an offer of perfection for her to accept if she wished. Who could resist? He reloaded the spoon several times, watching her with an indulgent expression as she ate from it. When he chose chocolate ice cream, she shook her head and slipped her fingers around his wrist.
That's for you.
Something dangerous sparked in his deep blue eyes, darkening his irises until they looked almost black.
That, right there, is the biggest clue of all. You cater for two. Every thought you have strikes a balance between your needs and someone else's.
He focused on her lips again.
Mine.
My lips are yours?
Liking the sound of that a little too much, she scrambled to come up with a reply.
I'm not thinking about you.
Yes, you are,
he said softly.
I've been on enough dates to recognize when one's wildly different.
He must have felt her stiffen because his lips twitched.
It's a compliment, Sarah. I can feel you taking cues from me, and there's an expectation I'll respond.
Good grief, the man was lethal. He seemed to know that staring at her mouth while talking about cues, expectations, and responsiveness would have this effect. Her earlier mantra repeated in her head. Surely this was her chance to be recklessly, drunkenly single? Heart pounding, she leaned closer to Ethan and pressed a hasty kiss almost squarely on his lips. He stilled, surprise etched on his features as he watched her. Then he moved, setting the spoon down and tugging loose the bow that held up her dress. He held both ends of fabric together, his dark blue eyes issuing a silent challenge.
Again.
She'd never been rewarded for bad behavior before. He didn't need to ask twice. She brushed her lips across his cleft chin, exploring the slight dip as if he'd invited her to do whatever she liked. When she snuck a glance at him, his features were relaxed and his eyes were closed. Her inhibitions melted away as she sank against his hard body and covered his lips with hers. Chapter 3.
Damn, Sarah was sweet. She kissed like she was in junior high, yet he sensed that would change with the slightest encouragement from him. If he plunged his tongue between her lips, she'd match him stroke for stroke. But it wouldn't be long.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?